Well, my message tonight was inspired by recent events between my daughter Kelly, I should say our daughter Kelly, and things that happened between her and God and her and us recently. And I'll share a little bit more about that a little bit later. You know, my message tonight, I can't remember. I've got the old gray hair going up top here. And I may have shared a part of it before, and I struggled with that, I thought, you know, because God gave me this message. And I said, well, I think I've shared that before, some parts of it somewhere, maybe at men's breakfast or something. But I finally got over that, because it doesn't matter. If God gives you a word, you preach it out there. And if God speaks it again, it must be worth hearing again. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your presence here tonight, Lord. Lord, we are nothing without you. And we wouldn't want to be here tonight without your presence in this room, Lord. And Lord, I just acknowledge I have nothing to offer your people tonight but that which you give me. And so I ask that you give me clarity of thought, speech, and that I may convey this message in a way that will bring glory and honor to your name that you so richly deserve. And Lord, we just thank you ahead of time for the work that you're going to do here tonight, Lord. And we thank you for your work upon Calvary's cross, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. Well, how many here tonight would agree that we make a lot of choices in our lifetime? Amen. Every day, you know, we may have gotten up this morning and we decided whether or not we were going to get dressed straight away, decided what we might or might not have for breakfast, whether or not we were going to take a shower and brush our teeth or just lay back. You know, many choices are made every day. Many choices that don't really have any significant consequences in our life. Except maybe if you chose not to take that shower for a while. But we don't think about them. They're just done. But there are many consequences in our life of bad choices that we make. And I'm going to talk to you about one of those tonight. You know, before I talk about another very important consequence, though, I want to talk to you and mention just one single word. And that word is capacity. Now, if you were to look up the definition of capacity in the dictionary, it would say this: a measure of the maximum amount that can be held or contained by something. So, your water bottle that may have tonight, that has a certain capacity, doesn't it? Gas, your gas tank in your car, your bathtub, there's so many things that can only hold a certain amount of any item. And if we try to fill those more than their capacity, what happens? Things spill out and things can get ugly. Amen. Now, I know there's most of us are a few gray hairs here tonight, but we can think back to our youth. And those who may still be in your youth, think about this. You know, in our youth, we thought we were quite invincible at times, didn't we? How many remember watching Superman? Oh, yeah. He was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Amen? And I can remember when I was really young and out in Grandpa's farm, I remember getting up in the hayloft and putting on a makeshift cape like Superman wore, you know. And luckily I had enough sense that I bailed out of the hayloft over the top of a pile of hay. But there's a lot of those things. We think we're invincible, but as the years gain on us, we tend to find out that we really, too, have a limited capacity for what we can hold, what we can do. You know, I don't know about you, but at times I still have a hard time realizing that I have a limited capacity. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm a 20-year-old trapped in a 68-year-old body. I can still do it, but I realize that I can't do everything. I can't fix this. I can't fix that. I can't do this as well as I used to because I have a limited capacity. I find myself thinking like you do at times. You know, I just can't fix that problem. I just don't see that being settled. I just can't deal with that problem right now. I've got too much going on in my life, and in my current strength, I cannot fix that. I cannot do it. So what does capacity have to do with all that? You know, it's because we need to get to the point in our lives, get to that place in our lives where we can admit that we have that limited capacity ourselves, just like things around us, that we too can only contain so much. You know, you might also be wondering, well, limited capacity for what? You know, you see, God did not make you, and he did not make me to carry around, to have the capacity to carry around the residue and the hurts and the wrongs that we sometimes carry around that happened in our lives. Amen? You know, we call it emotional baggage, don't we? You know, and these are parts of our past and even our present that we carry around, that things that have hurt us, things about people who have wronged us in the past. Oh, you lied to me, you cheated, you done this, you done that. And we carry that stuff around with us. And it can tend to be like hazardous waste for us, toxic chemicals. It can be tragic because that stuff, you can only contain so much because we have limited capacity. You see, God did not make us with the capacity to carry the disappointments of yesterday or even the things that we think about that may happen tomorrow. You know, if you have chosen the Bible, like most of us have, as your authority in life, as your blueprint in life, you would know that that's true, that God created us and gave us the capacity to just think about one thing at a time, today. He didn't give us the capacity to bring all that garbage and junk with us from the past, or even worry about the future, did he? He said, think about today. You know, Pastor Keith, just last Sunday, if you remember what he spoke about what? Focus. And how our focus needs to be on things above. And that if we're not focusing on things above, we're in trouble. Because we cannot take care of all those things. We cannot be what God wants us to be without focusing on him and thinking about other things. Living for today is all we really have capacity for. And that's a very true statement. It's God's plan for how we get our yesterdays back in yesterday and keep our tomorrows from ruining our todays. We have to do that. We have to think about today and all of just today. You know, in our early years, we didn't realize how things may have a way of piling up on us. You know, this happens, and we stick that in a mental drawer and or block it out somehow, and or just forget about it because it'll take care of itself. And a couple more years go by, the old pages flip on the calendar, and maybe a decade goes by, and all that stuff is still there, filling up our capacity for what we can live for. You know, it's easy just to stick unresolved conflicts, unresolved hurt, unresolved wrongs that have happened in our life into a mental drawer somewhere. And then something else happens, and we throw that in too. And then another thing, another person hurts us or grieves us in some way, and we find a place for that. Well, pretty quick, that drawer is full. And so then something else happens, and we end up sticking that on a shelf in our life someplace. And pretty quick, we're in trouble. Because why? Because we weren't made to contain all that. And just like your water bottle or your coffee cup, if you were to fill it up too much, it's going to what? It's going to pour out. It's going to make a mess. And that's where God comes in. Because forgiveness is what God gives us to free us and others from the weight of the sludge of hurts, betrayals, and disappointments which have transpired in our lives. Forgiveness is the word. I use the word sludge there because, and forgive me, Paula, but talk about your medical problem, but Paula, as you know, that this next week is going to be having her gallbladder out. And I thought back to what the doctor, you know, you hear of gallbladder stones, because, and that's the reason your gallbladder is not working right and causes you problems. But in this case, he used the word, well, your gallbladder is full of sludge. And so the sludge that was just not allowing her gallbladder to work right, not able to do what it was made to do. And that's what happens in our lives if we don't take care of these hurts and wrongs. That sludge builds up, and then we can no longer do what we were made to do, what God created us to do, because our focus is only on the hurts and the wrongs and the unforgiveness in our lives. So the title for my subject tonight is, I Choose to Forgive. It's a choice that we have to make. I choose to forgive. So if you have your Bibles with me, turn quickly to Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to be looking, starting in verse 23. We're going to be reading a story, a parable that Jesus relayed to his disciples. And we're going to come back to this story again later, but so I'm just going to read fairly quickly through it, make a couple comments, but when we're done with that, I just want you to continue thinking about that story. And how it pertains to the forgiveness in our lives. Amen? Verse 23 says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So this king, he had a business, you know, and he wanted to make sure that his servants were doing their just duties and honoring and being faithful and honest to the business that the master had. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, you're gonna hear talk about denarii, which was a currency. It's actually silver, and it just weighed a few grams. And worth about one day's wages. Here we're talking about talents. A talent was equal to 6,000 denarii, and its weight was in gold. And it wasn't in grams. It was in kilograms, pounds, and worth a lot of money. So there was a debt there that was unable to be paid by anybody. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother for his trespasses. Like I said, we're going to come back to that, but think about the debt. Think about what happened in that story. So I'm talking to you tonight about forgiveness. You know, and the fact that we have a limited capacity to go forward without forgiveness in our heart. We have to make a choice, a big choice, and that's to forgive. Because forgiveness is God's solution to our capacity issues. Forgiveness will take away the hurts. It will take away the wrongs. We may not forget them, but we'll remember them in a mighty different way, won't we? You know, forgiveness is and you've heard Pastor Keith talk about this, it's a verbally declared message personally given to somebody that's undeserved, it's unmerited, but you give it in love and you declare that, though I've been offended by you, though I've been hurt by you, though you've done me wrong, there will be no hatred. There's going to be no vengeance. There's going to be no bitterness and no retaliation. Why? Because there is no guilt and there's no bitterness left with forgiveness. God takes that away when we choose to do that. See, we need to get free of all the hurts, all the disappointments, all the rejections that we may have had in our lifetime. And if we don't do something with all those accumulated hurts and disappointments, you know, they just get pushed into emotional baggage, don't they? You know, we call it emotional baggage. Why? And those men who know me from talking down in men's breakfast know I like to use a prop once in a while. And so what happens to emotional baggage? You know, I use a suitcase because that's what we end up carrying around, our emotional baggage full of hurts, full of the wrongs that were done, full of the disappointments in our life. And we can move, but it doesn't change anything, does it? Because we're carrying that right along with us, aren't we? And the longer we carry it, the longer it eats at us. And pretty soon, the hurts and the wrongs, they turn into bitterness. They turn into vengeance. They turn into retaliation for those who hurt you. And it destroys your life. This is, you know, like I said, they can move, but it goes right with them. You can try a different church, but it goes right with you because it's like carry-on baggage. It goes with you wherever you go. And the only way to get rid of it, the only way to cure that is with God's, is with forgiveness. Amen? You know, if we want the kind of life that God promises us, then we have to find a good way to deal with all that stuff in our lives if we have that. You know, I'd be the first to admit, I've had unforgiveness in my life. And I've freed people. And I've freed myself in doing so. You know, Pastor has said, and you've heard it before probably, when we have unforgiveness in our heart, we are actually holding that person in bondage. We're keeping them in a cage with all our feelings and stuff. You know, we need to become the experts of forgiveness in our lives. Not only to our families, but to our church family, to coworkers, any other acquaintances that we might think of or that we have run into through our lifetime. I don't think there would be a person here tonight that would say, boy, if I could just take the last 5 years, if I could just take the last 10 years and all the decisions that I've made, all the choices I've made, and do them over, I think there would be hands here raised, each and every one of us. Amen? But we can't go back. And God didn't make us to carry all that forward either, did he? You know, so we have to make the right choice. We have to make the only choice that there is, and that's to forgive. You know, everyone knows the Lord's Prayer, right? You know, the disciples requested to Jesus saying, you know, Lord, teach us to pray, didn't he? What was his answer to him? It was the Lord's Prayer. And let's just say that with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Say that last part again. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Wow. You know, I think Jesus knew when he was telling the disciples that they might have a little trouble with that forgiveness part. You know. And so he clarified it really well for them in some following verses there. He said, because it says, for if you forgive others their debts, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their debts, neither will your Father forgive you. Wow. You know, we all have run into scriptures that we have problems with that we may not completely understand. And so we have to search and maybe in our Bible commentaries or talk to somebody else and try to figure out just what that verse meant. But I don't think that's the case here. You know, it says, for if you forgive their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Wow. I don't think there's no commentaries you have to read there. You don't have to go to pastor and ask him what he thinks that verse means, do you? It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple, that God made it crystal clear that if you don't forgive, then he's not going to forgive. And, you know, it's very basic, right to the point. Nobody could have trouble with that. So, the word forgiven, I'm sure you've run across it many times, and especially in the New Testament. And so, being used many times, I would think it was fairly important to God. Amen? I know all of us growing up, and Pastor talked about this last Sunday too, is my sheep hear my voice, you know. I remember hearing my mother yell. I knew her voice too. And when she'd call me out, and my name was, I hate to even say this, she called me Junior. But if I heard the word Junior, my ears would perk up a little bit because I knew her voice. If she said Junior twice, I knew I better be on my high horse to see what's up, because I knew it was important. And usually it's because I was in trouble. So, and in my Christian life, I've come to know and come to learn that when I read something over and over in the Bible and the same words are being used by God, that, wow, better listen up. Better listen up, because that's important to God. And if it's that important to him, there's got to be a good reason that he's passing it along on to me. So, choosing to forgive is one of the many choices that will change your life forever. You know, forgiveness is a legal term, meaning to release a person from an obligation. Pastor talked about this. We feel when someone hurts us, when someone's wronged us, that they have an obligation to us, don't we? They've taken something from us, and so they owe us. And in a monetary context, it would say that the debt, whatever it was, is being free, is being paid for. So forgiveness always involves a choice. You just can't say I forgive you. They're words, and it's the only choice that we can make. I remember even listening to some of our children talking to their kids, and you've probably heard this, when they get in trouble or they might hit their sister or hit their brother, and you say, well, you go tell them you're sorry. Well, you do, right? But do you really mean it? No, you're doing it because you're going to get what for if you don't, you know? But it's because that somebody else made that choice for you. It wasn't a choice that you made to say you're sorry, to ask them for forgiveness. Go back to forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. You know, when we pray that, what are we actually saying? We're saying, Lord, I want you to forgive me the same way I'm forgiving others. Uh-oh. Ouch. You know, I think for the most part, and a lot of times in our lives, we're wishing that God would forgive us a lot better than we've forgiven other people, right? Amen? You know, forgiveness is a choice that you and I make to release a person from something they owe us or that we perceive they owe us. We mentioned that earlier. You know, they've hurt us, they've wronged us, so they owe us. No. It's a debt in our eyes. You know, if I were to offend you in some way, one of you, if I were to hurt you in some way, you have two options as I see it. You could not forgive me. You could hold that grudge over me, that unforgiveness over me. And every time you see me, you think, yeah, there's that Paul. He's the guy that done this to me or he done that to me. And you could choose to do that for the rest of your life and live with that obligation. You'd be holding me in bondage, keeping me in a cage because of that unforgiveness. Or you could make the choice to forgive. And remember, forgiveness is the choice that releases the person. You know, the obligation is that they owe what they took from you. You know, it may be, well, you lied to me, so you stole my trust in you. I can't trust you anymore. You cheated me out of something, so you owe it to me. And that could go on and on, but that's the way we perceive things in our mind when we're living in unforgiveness. Unforgiveness gives way to our need to keep that person under obligation for what we believe they stole from us and hold them hostage. And so true. If you think in your own lives, think the persons that have wronged you or hurt you and somehow, you feel differently when there's no forgiveness there than when you know that person has forgiven you and you've forgiven each other. You know, unforgiveness would say, you owe me. Unforgiveness says, you don't owe me anything. Unforgiveness would say, I'm going to make you pay for what you've done to me. Forgiveness would say, forget about it. I forgive you. Go free. Unforgiveness would say, I'll make you regret your actions. I'll make you pay for what you've done to me. But forgiveness would say, God didn't make me so I could carry all those hurts around. I forgive you. That's what happened recently with her daughter. She first, a few months ago, went back to church, went to a special meeting of some kind. I'm not sure what it was, a women's meeting, Paula, or something like that. And she got touched. She had an experience with God. And we, for 20 years, I don't think for 20 years or so, she'd ever been in our house. We had some communication through texting. We were over to her house a couple times for dinner, but no real relationship in all those years. I had divorced her mother, and I don't know if that was the reason or what, but I suffered within myself all those years for not being able to have that relationship and probably holding some unforgiveness myself in my own heart. Well, she texted us and told us about the experience that she had at church, that she had never felt God like that before. And she started telling us how sorry she was for the way that she had been living her life and harboring feelings that she shouldn't, and how she lost so much like that. And she asked me to forgive her. And she told me that she forgives me. And we've done that to each other. It was through a text, but it was just like we were standing in front of each other. And I tell you what, I felt so free. So free. I was in that bondage. I was in that cage, along with my wife, which she had to suffer with it too. And since then, we hear from her every day. She's been to our house up here 2 times already. We have a great relationship, and I thank God for that. I just want to share that with you so you can maybe understand how forgiveness really sets people free. And if you're harboring any unforgiveness in your heart, the things that you need to do to make it right. As I said earlier, unforgiveness is a cancer in your soul. It will eat away and eat away and erode every part of your being. You know, the Lord never commanded us to do anything that He wouldn't give us the capacity to handle. And so the problem is that we're not really often willing to forgive. He wants us to forgive. We also have to be willing. It's got to be more than just a forgiveness in words. I mentioned that earlier. Just I forgive you without a feeling, without a heart sensation, or just lip service. You know, you might say, oh, I forgive you, but all the while you're thinking in the back of your mind, yeah, I forgive you, but you do that again, I'm going to get you, you know. Or you might say, I forgive you, but in the back of your mind you're saying, but I won't forget what you've done to me. Or how about this one I wrote? You say, I'll bury the hatchet, but you forget to add that, well, I'm going to leave the handle showing just in case I need to grab it in a hurry and use it again, you know? Choice of forgiveness is from the heart. It's not from the mouth. It has to be from the heart. It's a heart thing. It's a spirit thing. God gave us the example for that, didn't He? He is the author of forgiveness. The choice of forgiveness is from the heart. Think about this for a minute. There is no person on this earth that could offend you, that could offend me to the point or beyond the point that we have offended God with our sin. Amen? There's no person. We have offended God so badly with our sins, but yet we allow people to offend us in small ways. It's not a good return. You know, let's go back to the parable in Matthew 18 for a moment. It says, but when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow workers who owed him 100 denarii. Now, I explained that 100 denarii was worth about a day's wages back then. So it was one six thousandth of a talent, a very small amount. So that other servant owed him what? 100 denarii. So basically 100 100 days' wages. He had owed 10,000 talents. Wow, in today's money, that would be millions and millions and millions of dollars. A debt that he could never even paid in 100 lifetimes. But yet, the master did what? He had compassion on him and forgave him the debt. You know, I thought about it and see that he had compassion on him. How many times have you read in the Bible where Jesus has gone into town, into a city, and he looked around and he did what? It said he had compassion on them. He had compassion on you. He had compassion on me. This servant, the forgiven debtor, went after one of his own fellow servants. And for what? What did it say he'd done to him? It said he grabbed him by the throat, laid hands on him. It's not the way we're thinking about laying hands on. Laid hands on him, grabbed him by the throat, and started yelling at him, "Pay me what you owe me." Wow. You know, that instead of having his hands, you know, he'd done the wrong thing. He should have had his hands around that servant and say, "Wow, tell you what, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. I was forgiven 10,000 talents, you know, and you know that little debt you owe me, that 100 denarii? Hey, forget about it. Go. Be freed. Forget you ever owed it to me." But no, that's not what he done, was it? He had him thrown in jail. And was he ever going to get his 100 denarii back? No. No. He did that out of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. He was not showing the same forgiveness that he had been shown. So, we take a second and look at what the decisions that he made, and if we were to make the same decisions in our lives, how would it affect us? Because they did affect his decision to not forgive the servant, the other servant of that 100 denarii, impacted his life immensely, didn't it? And it will ours. Like we said, unforgiveness will destroy, it will shatter relationships and your life. You know, how about this? He had a shattered relationship there. You know, when he was done choking this guy out for 100 denarii, you know, I think that relationship was probably over, don't you? There was not going to be any more Friday night barbecues at that servant's house. And there was not going to be no, "Hey, man, you know, hey, I'm really sorry about that choking deal. You know, I just kind of lost my head." No, that relationship was gone forever. There was nothing. That was a shattered relationship that was not going to ever be brought back into something good. There was a shattered reputation. You know, when the forgiving servant refused to listen to his fellow servant, he had him put in prison. Now, what do you think all the other servants were thinking? You know, it said the other servants were listening to all this. And they were thinking, "God, you choked him out for what?" And so what did they do? Huh? Yeah, they ratted him out. They squealed on him to the king, didn't they? And the forgiving servant lost all his credibility, lost all his integrity with his fellow servants, didn't he? Anything he had, he lost that reputation. You know, and then, you know, the wicked servant, the king rather, he said when he got before the king again, the servants, he was pretty humiliated, I would think. And he was pretty chatty with the king before, wasn't he? You know, forgive me for this, I'll pay you, da-da-da. But I don't think he had too much to say when he went back before the king again. You know, and was the king ever going to see any of that 10,000 talents? No, no. But the king was mirroring exactly what that servant was showing him on forgiveness. And like we said, on forgiveness turns into what? Bitterness, vengeance, retaliation. And that's exactly what happened to him. So there was a shattered result. You know, the king changed his mind and he threw him in the huskal. He wasn't going to get his pay. And so unforgiveness, as we've been talking about, gradually leaves us with nothing more than a thirst for vengeance and retaliation. You know, nothing will cut a pattern of destruction in your life like unforgiveness will. You know, it's the absolute opposite of God's plan for our lives, isn't it? We said earlier, He is the creator, the author of forgiveness. You know, you don't always have to prove that you are in the right. You don't always have to be the one that is superior in everything that's going on. You know, we just need to learn to let it go. You know, I will say it again, we do not have unlimited capacity. You know, the bottom line is you and I, we can't do what God has in plan for us on this earth. We can't do the work that He wants us to do with a heart full of unforgiveness. So I want you to remember three things here tonight, if you don't remember anything else. It says, number one, when you think it's too much, I can't forgive, I can't let go, remember that it's God's strength that can help you to do that. And you can't do it in your own strength. You have to go to God. And first, ask for forgiveness there for your sin. Because unforgiveness, and that's something we have to learn, is a sin. When you think, I won't be able to forgive him or her for the offenses, for the hurts that they caused me, believe that with God, you can do that. You'll be able to remember them in a very different way. Remember them in God's way and not through a heart of bitterness, which looks at all the bad. And the third is when you fear, well, what if she or he does that to me again? Well, you need to know that they can't. Only if you allow it. But if you stay in God and with God's help, you'll eventually, it won't bother you anymore. You won't even be thinking about it. So, the first step in dealing with forgiveness, like I said a little bit ago, is to be able to see your sin, or see forgiveness as sin, because it is. You have to know that God is not going to forgive you if you do not forgive others. You have to stop explaining it, stop ignoring it, stop passing it off as something else, stop cherishing it, and stop reviewing it. I put that in there, stop cherishing it, because I've run across people, not here, thank goodness, because we have a loving church here, but I've run across people, and not necessarily in church, that, man, it seems like they just live to be bitter. They just live to be able to talk about that person that hurt them, or that person that done this to them. And it just seems it just builds them up. And they thrive on, you know, well, they do this again, I'm gonna get them, and da da da, and it just goes on and on. So we have to stop explaining it. You have to got to say it. You've got to say, I don't want this for my life anymore. I choose to forgive. You've got to say, my desire for God's forgiveness is bigger than my desire to hold on to unforgiveness. You know, that means on Sunday when you might see that person that harmed you in some way, or on Monday when you might see a coworker that hurt you or lied to you or whatever the deal was that caused injury to you, that you're not going to be bringing it back up in your mind again. You're going to turn it over to God, and you're going to forgive that person. You've got to promise yourself that you won't bring it up to him or her. Does that do any good to keep bringing up that you hurt me, that you did this to me or that? No. That's not forgiveness. So don't review it. Don't get yourself worked up about it. Don't let it roll around in your mind. Our mind is a terrible thing for us at times, because we just seem to sometimes just let that stuff just regurgitate through our mind and bring it up until we could harbor that unforgiveness again. Because I wrote this, you won't forget until you forgive. Amen? Say that. I won't forget until I forgive. And you won't. You know, we have to find that forgiveness in our hearts. So no matter how deep the wound, no matter how deep the hurt that you have, God can bring you to the place where that person's sin does not hurt you anymore. Amen? You may remember it, but it won't hurt you anymore. You know, he loves you. And he's making us into extraordinary people, isn't he? You know, we're going to have difficult times. He never promised us a rose garden, did he? Never promised us smooth sailing through this thing we call life. But he did always promise that he'd be on the other side waiting for us. He did promise that he would, lo, I will be with you always. And we have these difficulties in life. Because why? Because they strengthen us. If we turn them over to God and learn from them, we will be strengthened. We will grow into be more mature Christians and have a better insight on what he has planned for our life. And that's where what we always look for in the body of Christ, unity. That's where unity comes in. To me, you know, I haven't been in a lot of churches in my life, but I do know that the thing that goes on in churches that hurts the body of Christ more than anything is unforgiveness. We want to be united in all that God has for us, but we can't do that if we are harboring unforgiveness in our hearts towards anybody. I'll reiterate the one thing I said a little while ago, that there is no person on earth that can offend us more than we have offended God with our sin. So, you look back at Matthew 18, we read, how about the debt that we owe? A debt that we could never repay. I don't care how long we live. God died on the cross for our sins. He forgave us. When we asked for forgiveness, He gave us forgiveness and set us free. We're free, amen? Oh, happy day. We can have oh, happy days every day because He loved us so much. And so we have to follow His example of forgiveness. We can't turn around to our fellow Christian or fellow neighbor, whoever it is, and hold ill feelings towards him or her when our Father, when our Master had given us so much. Amen.